Before we begin our scripture reading, this morning we're going to do it just a little bit differently. In your bulletin, there is an insert, a Pentecost dramatic reading. On it, we, the congregation, are going to be the readers today. And so this side is considered the left. Wherever you see left in the readings, you will read it with me. This side is the right. Wherever you see right, you will read it with Pastor Duane. Let us begin. Dick, you can do the prayer of illumination.
Let's pray. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us. Melt us, mold us, fill us, use us. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us. Amen.
Amen. Together, the left side with me. On the day of Pentecost, the Lord's followers were together in one place. Suddenly, there was a noise from heaven, like the sound of a mighty wind. It filled the house where they
were meeting. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him.
Many religious Jews from every country in the world were living in Jerusalem.
And when they heard this noise, a crowd gathered, but they were surprised because they were hearing everything in their own languages.
They were excited and amazed and said, "Don't all these who are speaking come from Galilee? And how do they speak?
Some of us are from Parthia,
me,
and Elam,
others are from Mesopotamia,
Judea,
Cappadocia,
Pontus, Phrygia,
Pamphylia,
parts of Libya near Cyrene,
Rome,
Crete,
and Arabia.
Some of us were born Jews, and others have chosen to be Jews. Yet we all hear them using our own language to tell the wonderful things God has done. Everyone was excited and confused. Some of them even kept asking each other, "What does all this mean?" Peter stood with the 11 apostles and spoke in a loud and clear voice to the crowd. "Friends and everyone else living in Jerusalem, listen carefully to what I have to say. You are wrong to think that these people are drunk. After all, it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is what God led the prophet Joel to say. In those days I will give my spirit to all my servants, both men and women, and they will prophesy. I will perform miracles in the sky above and wonders on the earth below.
There will be blood and fire, clouds of smoke.
and all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is the word of the Lord. I hope you'll agree with me when I say that as Christians, we have really good news. We have wonderful news. And the news is that God loves the world. God loves everyone in it, all of creation, all men, women, and children. God loves us all. And loves the world so much that he sent his son, Jesus. Through Jesus, we would come to know how loved we are and that each one of our lives matters to God. Even if we are poor or persecuted, to God we are blessed. If we are considered the least in society, Jesus associates himself with us. Even if communities consider us unclean and cast us out, to Jesus we are touchable and welcomed. No matter how many wrong turns we have made in life, we can always do that one more time and turn back to God, come home to God. For he will celebrate that we who once was lost are now found. Over and over in the scriptures, we hear the good news that it is God who loves us and loves us wonderfully. In fact, he loved us so much that he loved us before we loved him. And we know this because while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, and through his death, our sins are forgiven. But the good news continues because it doesn't end just there. The good news is that because Christ rose from the grave, we too now have eternal life. My brothers and sisters, this is God's wonderful gift of grace, given not because we deserve it or have earned it or have a right to it, but given to us freely. Because God is love, and God loves the world. In acceptance of God's gracious gift of love, we, you and I, are commanded to live that love. I don't know how many of you saw the wedding yesterday, but Bishop Michael Curry preached an amazing sermon. And one of the things he told Prince Harry and Meghan Markle was, Christianity is a movement grounded in the unconditional love of God for the world and for a movement mandating people to live that love and in so doing to change not only their lives, but the very life of the world itself. My brothers and sisters, it doesn't get much better than that. God loves us. But have you ever wondered how many people do not know that? Have you ever wondered how many people do not know that? Have not heard this good news? The truth of the matter is that God's love matters. What a difference it is to know that in our joys or sorrows, in our successes or failures, in our everyday lives, God loves us and remains faithful and merciful and kind and is always present. Wouldn't you want to know that? I remember many years ago when I had just come back to the church. I would ride the New York City subway to work every morning, and while I'm sitting on the subway, I would look at all of the passengers. Now, in New York City, you know that's kind of a no-no. Everybody kind of looks at their own thing and doesn't pay attention to anyone else. But during these morning commutes, I would just look at every single person on the subway, and what always rose up within me was this question, do you know how much God loves you? And I would look at every person wondering, do you know how much God loves you? And then, quite honestly, I would get terrified. I would be terrified of this inner compulsion to know if people knew God. I was terrified of this urgency to share this good news with everyone on the subway. I actually was terrified that one day I would be on the train, and next thing you know, I would be up off my feet and preaching in the middle of the train. I remember praying, Lord, please don't call me to that ministry. If you knew how terrified I was of public speaking back then, you would understand just how strong this emotion was within me. But the terror was real. I believe the fear continues to be real for the church today. We know Jesus. We walk and talk and live with him. He has strengthened us for the journey ahead. He has showered us with blessings. He calls us his beloved. We know Jesus. We know of God's great love for everyone, and yet we are too afraid to share this good news. We're afraid to share it with our mouths, with our lips. We're afraid to share that love with each other. We're afraid of what people may think or do. We're afraid of what we may look or sound like. We're afraid that we won't be understood or maybe even accepted. Like the early disciples, fear has a way of keeping us silent and locked away from the rest of the community. But God is amazing. God doesn't call us to something and then doesn't equip us for the task at hand. The early disciples were groomed by Jesus just for that task, to go out and spread the good news. But they needed someone to help them. Help them break free from the fear that imprisoned their tongues and their bodies. And then, on this special night, the Holy Spirit came like tongues of fire and set each person in that room free. Free from fear, free to speak, free to stand up and be seen. These Galileans were given the ability to share the good news with people in many languages. I don't know if you realize how powerful that is. God could have given all of the people the ability to hear that one language, but instead God equipped each person with the ability to speak in the language of another. To speak in the language of another person. That's amazing. That's amazing. And what is even more miraculous, the same Spirit that fell afresh upon the early disciples is the same Spirit alive and at work within us. God still wants to do a new thing. A new thing in our day, a new thing in our lives, a new thing in our church, a new thing in our communities. And God wants to use us, you and I. God wants to set us free and set us on fire, so that we are not bound by our fears that keeps us silent or apart, but we are set ablaze, so that the good news might spread like wildfire. So my brothers and sisters, let us share it. Even if it has to start with us looking in the mirror at ourselves and saying, God loves you, Anna. What a good way to start. It's a nice way to begin. But don't let it stop there. Share it with someone at church today. You know, sometimes we think when we come to church, everybody knows that they're loved. Every now and then we need to hear it. Share it with someone in church today. Share it with someone at home. Share it with a friend or a neighbor. Or if we dare, share it with a stranger. This good news of God's love through Jesus Christ, it's meant to spread. Spread like wildfire. And it spreads through us. Through you and through me. Wherever we go, whatever we're doing. And so we begin with prayer. That's how the disciples did it. They prayed, "Come, Holy Spirit. Come and do a new thing in me. Fall afresh upon me. Work in me. Move in me. Speak through me." May you and I, my brothers and sisters, be instrument of God's grace and mercy in this world that God so loves. And may the good news spread like wildfire through us. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. O holy God, we thank you, Lord. We give thanks, O God, for your Holy Spirit that came and fell upon your disciples. And we pray, O God, opening our hearts and our minds and our very spirits to you, that your Holy Spirit might fall afresh upon us, fill us, use us, for we are your servants. We ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.